broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for May 15th, the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our blueprint, wow, our guide. And ladies and gentlemen, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. You know we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. You know, we know revolution is an option. Look at your Declaration of Independence for guidance on that topic. However, we do believe that while we have the blueprint for liberty in place, we ought to use that framework to work within the system to restore, not revolt. That's the point, ladies and gentlemen. In other words, we can restore because the founding fathers did revolt, right? Very clear. By the way, yesterday's broadcast, quick recap, we talked about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints doubled down and issued a statement opposing the Equality Act currently before Congress, while, quote, providing extremely broad protections for LGBT rights, the Equality Act provides no protection for religious freedom, the statement said. The legislation does not meet the standard of fairness for all, contending that it would strip key religious protections. The Equality Act would threaten the religious employment standards, devastate religious education, and defund numerous religious charities. This bill is disaster. Believe it or not, the Southern Baptist Convention, the Roman Catholic Church, are among others who also oppose this legislation. So that's good news. Amazon says quit your job and we'll help you start a business delivering packages. Yeah. And they say, hey, we'll give you 10 grand. We'll help you out for the next 3 months. But look, Amazon is going to put the squeeze on every industry everywhere. So yeah, they might help you, leave Amazon, get a different job, but then they'll put the squeeze on you in the next job. That's just the way Amazon works. It's predatory by nature. Walmart rolling out next day delivery on its most popular items, increasing the stakes in the, quote, retail shipping wars. We also talked about iPhone owners can sue Apple over App Store. Supreme Court rules, CNET with the details. We talked about WhatsApp says the vulnerability let mobile phones be infected by sophisticated spyware. And we told you it was government. We told you it was out of control. This is, remember, Facebook owned WhatsApp. The WhatsApp said the attack had all the hallmarks of a private company known to work with governments to infect phones. They blatantly admitted it. The Financial Times even identified the company working with governments. It's an Israel company, the NSO Group, whose Pegasus software has been known to be used against human rights activists. All right. Anyway, Donald Trump hosts a dinner. What's they call this? Iftar. How do you say that? Anyway, dinner. And condemns the New Zealand mosque attacks. Good for President Trump. We ought to condemn all attacks, by the way. Joe Biden, quote, not a single bit of evidence that my son asked me to help in the Ukraine. And Kurt Crosby wisely says, hey, you know what? Nothing's official until it's been denied. The D.C. area radio station told to register as a Russian agent. Why? Well, because they're taking Russian programming. Interesting, huh? That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour 2, we had our guest on, Mr. Alan Phillips, well-known personal friend and vaccine rights attorney, vaccinerights.com, North Carolina attorney. Alan Phillips faces additional jail time. Why? For maintaining his attorney-client privilege for his clients. Yeah, please help our good friend and vaccine rights attorney, Alan Phillips. Where do you want to go to learn more? OhioAMF.org. Alan provided documents ordered by the court, but the NC, or North Carolina Bar, says inadequate, and the judge throws Allen back in jail. Allen Phillips has the next court hearing coming up on the 20th. But you know what? Will the judge just find Allen in contempt of court again and toss him back in the clink? Our prayers are no, but we predict yes. This is really serious. I mean, it's more and more my friends are going to jail. They're either going to jail or they're falsely documented as leaders of the KKK. You know, you just can't win, right? Georgia governor, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Kemp signed the heartbeat abortion bill into law. Great news, and more heartbeat abortion bans are advancing in the South and the Midwest, all over the country, folks. This is a hot topic, which we'll get into in just seconds. Salt Lake Tribune, believe it or not, an incredible old age or old style, you know, old school newspaper, seeks to become a nonprofit community asset, a first for a, what do they call this thing? They call it a legacy newspaper, is the term they use. Anyway, all I can tell you is this heartbeat abortion bill stuff heating up big time. That is the news that I refuse to use. Recap of yesterday's show, still available online at libertyroundtable.com. When you're there, donate today, would you please? All right, without further ado, Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And I admit that more and more and more of my friends are either in jail or they're falsely labeled as KKK leaders. Welcome back, my favorite KKK leader, James Edwards.
Thank you, Sam. I guess that would be the tall end of the stick between those two choices. But, you know, I've got the third Wednesday of every month circled in red Sharpie on my calendar. I wouldn't miss this for the world. It's always great to be here. I did listen to yesterday's show and heard the second hour even before I got the email reminder. And I began to concern myself. If you go to jail, we got to have somebody set up to run your show. You know, we got to plan ahead.
Hey, man, Kirk Crosby and James Edwards can double down and take care of business while I'm in jail. You guys can put me on the radio from prison, you know?
Yeah, but, well, and certainly we will, but we got to have somebody that can run the board.
Hey, I got a few people that can run the board. That'll be all right. They'll double down and take care of business.
Football team and kids, so surely one of them can do it. And I tell you what, there may be more kids on the way. I'd just like to say something very quickly because you mentioned it. What's going on in Alabama is the real deal, okay?
Yes, it is. So let me give you a couple of quick headlines and then have you respond. Alabama Senate bans nearly all abortions, including rape cases, writes Reuters. The country's strictest abortion bill was previously approved by the Alabama House of Representatives about a month ago, and now the Senate just voted on it. Now it's going to Governor Kay Ivey. And most folks think she'll sign it, but she hasn't spoke out too boldly yet. This is the tip of the spear, sir.
Well, listen, Kay Ivey's, you know, about as good as you can get out of a Republican governor. That's not to say too much, but she did stand by Roy Moore, even while all of that fake news and fake allegations were being thrown about when he was running for Senate and everybody was running for cover. She did stick by him, so that's good. So if she'll do that, I'm pretty sure she'll pass a right to life measure in Alabama, which, you know, you're going to have 100% approval amongst the Republican base, which is the vast majority of the state. So, but what happened there? I mean, there was a somewhat similar bill that strengthened the right to life cause in Georgia that went through recently. But this one, I'm reading now from the New York Times. I was actually reading about this right before we went on the air. This legislation that was passed on Tuesday, so this was just yesterday, bans abortion. Listen to me, folks. Bans abortion at every stage of pregnancy. Every stage of pregnancy, and criminalizes the procedure for doctors who would be charged with felonies and face up to 99 years in prison. Now, it does include an exception if the mother's life is at serious risk, but not, as you mentioned, Sam, not for cases of rape or incest. This basically, not for all intents and purposes, but just flat out, no doubt about it, sets up a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. So you know what's going to happen here in Alabama is some woman who wants to murder her baby or some organization who wants to allow women to murder their babies is going to challenge this, and this is going to go back to the Supreme Court. And will these so-called conservatives that now rule the Supreme Court, will they have the guts to pursue their own agenda, their own stated agenda? This is the biggest right.
Not only stated agenda, their promised agenda, virtually.
Well, yeah. I mean, no. I mean, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Roberts, these are all supposed to be pro-life guys. We'll see if they actually do it. I am skeptical that they will. I'll say that. But this sets up a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. What Alabama did is by far the most aggressive pro-life measure that's been passed in the last 50 years.
Right, you know, okay. It looks like it was 25-6 in the Senate there. So
virtually
it's pretty
a
good smackdown.
Baby.
As you said, I would just, at least what I'm reading, it says it makes performing an abortion at any stage of pregnancy a felony punishable by up to 99 years or life in prison for the abortion provider. That's
huge.
You know, that
it is.
Yeah,
huge.
That's big.
And it's great news. And so my headline that I just wrote is this: Alabama House and Senate bans nearly all abortions. Pray Governor Kay Ivey signs it. That's what we got to have, folks. And I've told you forever that they, you know what? This pro-life legislation, this pro-life reality is one of the most important things we can work on. Let's come back and talk about Georgia's heartbeat bill, Alabama's heartbeat bill, the South leading the cause, and we'll do it in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, the abortion bans in Alabama. House and Senate bans nearly all abortions. I'm telling you, we pray Governor Kay Ivey signs it. Come on, Kay, get it done. Georgia's new heartbeat bill, incredible as well. But man, I'm telling you right now, the liberals, the feminists, the feminazis, the extremists, the baby haters, the baby killers, they're all coming out in droves. They're absolutely coming unhinged over this. I'll give you some examples. Melissa Milano is proposing a sex strike to protest the Georgia law. Now, imagine a sex strike. Okay, hey, you know what? None of this for you. And so Meghan McCain jumps in, of all people, to battle for our side. Meghan McCain says, what about people who don't have a problem with this bill? You know, are they going to go on a sex strike? Okay. Now, Evan Rachel Wood, she has her own issues with this thing. She says, I worry this feeds into the, quote, religious belief that sex is only for procreation and never for pleasure. No sex until marriage. And then babies, a patriarchal plan, she doubles down. Calling for women to go on a sex strike, they say, isn't cool. It's sexist and harmful. Why? Because it creates the antiquated narrative that women have sex only to take care of their husbands and not for pleasure. I'm just telling you, these people are absolutely unhinged. They don't understand the culture discussion, the culture war at all. They're just crazy. First off, I don't know what godly man believes sex is only for procreation. Do you, Kurt?
No, Sam.
So I don't even know what they're talking about. Okay, look, I've got 8 children, and Kurt's got 11 children. We're pro-kid for sure, and we believe in the procreative power and the sacredness of the procreation God has placed within each of us. I get that. And it's sacred, and it's to be, let me think of the right word. It is to be understood and used with gratitude and with God's laws in mind. I get that, and I agree with that. But I don't think it's only for procreation. I think it's to bring a husband and wife together and to become one. And there's nothing wrong with that sexual relationship, but what they're trying to do is make it sound like we're just evil, and it's about controlling women. And it's about, okay, they misinterpret God. They don't even understand the discussion, Kurt.
Well, they don't want to understand, Sam. They don't want to accept the idea that God created man and a woman and male and female. And that, hey, that's, you know, the family. And,
amen.
You know, they're supposed to be children and all that stuff. These people want to look at every other thing. I mean, you mentioned Alyssa Milano. I mean, she's basically, she, as far as I understand, she's married. It's her second one. The first one lasted about a year. She's married, and maybe her husband hasn't explained that, you know, that there's more to this than that, but she is the one that called on that, what she called the sex strike. And then that other lady you mentioned that I'd never heard of before, but I read the story about it. She also called for some, I think she was calling for mandatory vasectomies.
Yes, that's correct.
You know, as well.
In response to the Georgia heartbeat law. So, hey, women are supposed to just go on a sex strike, and men are supposed to go ahead and just cut just destroy the procreative power within them, all over this, quote, women's rights to choose. They don't even understand it. So I don't believe sex is only for procreation. I think that's a huge part of it, and it's a sacred governing of it aspect for sure. But I believe sex within a one man, one woman marriage is ordained of God and should be celebrated and should be understood that it's for way more than just procreation. I'm going to tell you that right now. Kurt agrees with that. What about you, James? I mean, these ladies don't even understand our Christian beliefs, do they?
So much to talk about here. Number one, my contributions to humanity certainly pales in comparison to yours and Kurt's with regard to the 8 and 11 kids, respectively. But I have 2 that I'm quite proud of, and I can say as a father of 2 that I have found the act of sex with your wife to be not only for procreation, but actually quite enjoyable as well, so I'll go on the record with that. And it is a great gift that God gives to married couples to be able to enjoy that together. And it does bring them together as a unit. And it is something that you can share with your spouse that is just for you. And it's wonderful. Now, Alyssa Milano, let's talk about her.
Hold on. Before you go to Alyssa Milano, I want to kind of make this very clear. So what they want you to believe is either sex is to make babies for this patriarchal evil order. And that's exclusive. Or it's for pleasure. It's just for your own personal selfish satisfaction, it's pleasurable. It's okay, and they want to go on, and those are the 2 extremes. And I submit to you that we as Christians reject both extremes. And what I mean by that, rejecting of both extremes, I agree that it's enjoyable. Okay, I'm not debating that one bit. And I don't believe that it's only for procreation. I do believe the Christian view would be this. A husband and a wife stand side by side equally before God, as male and female as he created them, yoked together in the eternal marriage covenant, or the marriage covenant, and they are supposed to stand side by side together and welcome children so that procreative power is authorized, is licensed to them in their marriage, and children should be welcomed, and children should be considered the fruit of or a blessing of a righteous, God-ordained marriage. That's all factual. But to add to that, though, I'm not suggesting it's not enjoyable, but I'm saying it's not a selfish indulgence of just pure pleasure and, hey, we're going to deny women pleasure. And okay, that's a mischaracterization. Again, Satan loves any road but the true road. And his minions love any road but the true road. So we're not about denying women pleasure, but we need to understand that the pleasure, the enjoyment, has to do with the unifying of the sexes, of a male and female. They too shall become one. And it creates these hormones in your body, in your brain, that literally helps the unification of a man and a woman take place. So yes, it's enjoyable, and I'm not denying that. But let's not sacrifice the intentions of God on this selfish pleasure agenda. Let's say that, yes, it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable for them to be together in an effort to bond them together, in an effort to where they, what God put together, let no man set asunder or divide. And so I want to change this pleasure discussion on the other side of the equation, or this procreation side of the question, and they create polar extremes. To more of a, you know what, God put man and woman together. The sexual relationship is to do all things geared towards promoting the fundamental unit of society, the family, which is make sure that the feelings and the hormones spill over with love to where the husband and wife stay together. And every time they're together, that unifying act takes place. Children are welcome. Husbands are faithful to wives. Wives are faithful to husbands. They're faithful to their children. And the list goes on. Okay, it's about the unifying and leading of a family as a God-ordained institution. Okay, and what they do is they take these extremes to belligerence, and they exploit the extreme example of something and then make it into what it's not. And if people aren't very cognizant of the religious nature of a God-ordained institution and the fruits thereof, then they get deceived and all off onto a side deal. Pretty soon we're going, well, of course we love sex and the pleasure, and pretty soon we're off on this lustful agenda that's void of the intentions of our Father in heaven, which is unifying to say, you know what? It is pleasurable, and it's designed to make you stay with your woman, designed to make her stay with her man, designed to unify, designed to promote this fundamental unit of society. Okay, but let's not get off on a tangent, because what happens is we get extreme on these tangents, and then Satan uses that to divide, to drive a wedge, to deceive. We got to make sure it doesn't happen. James, I wanted to double down on that because I think it's critical to understand the nature and the evil, deceptive divide tactics they're trying to use here.
Well, Sam, you covered it well, and you covered it thoroughly, and not much more to say about that. The act of a man and a woman coming together in a marriage, it's like Kurt once said, we were driving in the car. I don't remember what we were talking about, but he made me laugh. He said, it's almost like God planned it that way. Well, that's what
good
man
point.
And woman coming together.
All right, any final word on that one before we get to Melissa Milano, Kurt?
I agree with James. I mean, the bottom line is, it's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, and no matter how many of these Hollywood types want to yell and scream and throw a fit and everything else, there's one trump card, and that's God.
The ordained of God family, the fundamental unit of society. We advocate for it and stand with it. When we come back, James will break down the Melissa Milano details. I got more for you, too. I mean, this is crazy town.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. A controversial bill that would ban nearly all abortions has passed in the state of Alabama. It was passed overnight, and an amendment that would have made exceptions for rape and incest was denied. Sponsors of the bill say they want to force the U.S. Supreme Court to make a decision on the defining question in the Roe v. Wade ruling, which established a woman's right to an abortion. Democratic Representative Merrica Coleman says,
Roe v. Wade is overturned. You will go back to the days where women are having abortions in back alleys.
The State Department's ordering U.S. workers out of Iraq a day after the Defense Department warned about a possible threat to Americans there from Iranian-backed forces as tensions rise between Washington and Tehran. The White House also reportedly has been reviewing possible military options should U.S. forces come under attack by Iran or its proxies. This is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30, get a $100 travel reward credit with a full synthetic oil change through October 31st, 2019. Terms apply. Visit Pennzoil.com/travel on.
Oh my gut. We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine, but thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
On Venezuela, we have disagreement.
Meeting with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in Sochi, Russia yesterday, that's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who's calling on Russia to help with an easy transition of power in Venezuela, which he says would see current leader Nicolas Maduro step down.
I urge my Russian colleagues to support the Venezuelan people as they return democracy to their country. The United States and more than 50 other nations agree that the time has come for Nicolas Maduro to go. He's brought nothing but misery to the Venezuelan people, and we hope that the Russians' support for Maduro will end.
Pompeo also warning Lavrov and the Russian government against interference in the U.S. election, saying any such action would further sour relations between the two countries. President Trump will speak this morning at the 38th Annual National Peace Officers Memorial Service at 11 Eastern, and this is USA Radio News.
All right, Melissa Milano, these people are just nutcases, man. I'm telling you right now. They want men to just go ahead and cut the procreative power. Is she insane? James?
Well, yeah, the short answer is yes. In fact, I was talking with a friend just over the weekend, a friend that I grew up with, a friend my age, my best friend growing up, and he said it. Just we use it. Is that Alyssa Milano's lost her mind? And it's funny because as a child of the 80s, I was born in 1980, so my formative years were in the 80s. And then I came of age in the 90s, and Alyssa Milano was a big star back then, certainly, and very attractive. So I knew who she was. But now, the thing about it now is she's lost a little bit of that power. So this phony threat, like Kurt said, she's married. So I guess if you're a radical feminist. Maybe she is going to withhold from her husband, but or anybody else she may be with. But this phony threat, I think it's a phony threat by her, some theatrics. I think it might have carried more weight 20 years ago before she hit the wall, but you're talking about a 50-year-old woman now, a 50-year-old woman threatening to withhold sex unless women who can actually conceive a child, unlike Alyssa, have the unencumbered right to infanticide. To me, that threat from a woman over the hill with regard to her childbearing years, it doesn't pack a punch with me. It's just another way for her to grant. And she's been doing this increasingly over the years. She, in fact, she's not new. This California girl isn't new to sticking her nose into Alabama's business. She actually flew into Alabama on the day of the special election when Roy Moore was driving people pledging to vote for his opponents in the polling booth. So she, for whatever reason, she has a abnormal interest in Alabama politics.
Well, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money and fame in saying these off the cuff extreme things.
Right. Well, you see, again, I mean, she can't play the sex pot or the starlet anymore as she did in her early years. So this is a way that she can maintain her media presence and become a darling. You know, remain a darling in Hollywood, even in her as she becomes a woman of a certain age. So there's certainly something to that.
Anyway, the bottom line is I find that interesting, the extreme measures they're willing to go to, and it just shows how unhinged they are. I'm going to give you my advice on the subject. You ready? Embrace the God-ordained family. Embrace a one-man, one-woman marriage. Join together, as God said, leave your parents and become one, and use the procreative power to grow your family, to welcome children into the world, and use the wonderful sexual relationship God has ordained to grow closer together as a husband and wife to jointly stand for the fundamental unity of society. And the more we do that, and the stronger the family is, and the more respect man has for woman and woman has for man, and the more sharing of responsibilities, and the more bringing their unique traits to the relationship that is not designed for division, but designed to be complementary by God's ordination, the more we back that fundamental reality, the better off we are. And all these people with all these extremisms need to just double down and support what works. So now they're saying to you, what is the best state, James and Kurt? In the eyes of U.S. News and World Report, they say that distinction belongs to Washington State. And they basically say they did over 72 factors to determine this. The magazine specifically focused on 8 factors: health care, education, the economy, infrastructure, opportunity. Let's see what else. I guess they call it opportunity, physical stability, crime, and natural environment for its new rankings. They've been doing this for a long time. As it turns out, they say Washington State, even though they say it's the best state, didn't come in first in any category, but its cumulative score topped everyone else. What's the best state and what's the worst state, James?
Well, you know, it's certainly very beautiful in the Pacific Northwest. There's no doubt about that. I haven't lived in every state, so I can't say. I mean, I think even in places in New England there's beautiful landscapes and geography all across the country, depending on what your tastes are. But I mean, I guess to me what it would come down to is, do you want to live around people who share similar beliefs?
Stop there, because I want to really segue this right. So they have their 72-plus factors. They have the economy. They have all these things that they want to gauge. I would set aside all those gauges, although I think economic freedom and friendliness to business and low taxes and all those things are one aspect. I would focus on greater aspects, and those are the aspects that you just highlighted. Go ahead and continue now and say, hey, do you want to be around people that you share beliefs with? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a true community is. I mean, that's what a community is born from, in my opinion. And so all of these other factors, climate and natural wonders and all of that, I mean, yeah, that would be nice. And God knows we have a merciless climate here in the South in the summer, but still, I can never imagine myself leaving the area. I mean, to me, you know, I have a connection with the land that my ancestors settled, that they have lived in for hundreds of years, that they fought for, that they died for, and to be around people who have similar beliefs. This actually, I mean, so to me, I don't even know if that was on the list of 72, but culture would be number one. I mean, that's the first thing I go to when you ask the question is, you know, you've got to be around people of like mind, and that actually gets back. I mean, that's a perfect tie-in to something I wanted to say about the issue with regards to what's going on the abortion issue in Georgia and Alabama. So, you know, we just had, we just wrapped up in April a Confederate History Month series on my radio show, and the very last...
By the way, every Saturday night, ladies and gentlemen, thepoliticalcesspool.org, check it out, award-winning broadcast live every Saturday night, and anytime 24/7 on demand, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Go ahead, sir.
He does that good, doesn't he, ladies and gentlemen? My goodness. But the very last guest we had on that series said something that I'd never heard before. And I guess I'd considered it, but not in the black and white, in-your-face way that he put it. And he said, the South won the Civil War. And I said, well, that's interesting. What do you mean by that? And he said, well, think about it. He said that during the war, and I knew this, of course, during the war, there was a massive revival in the South. And then after the war, as the South was broken and suffered the horrors of Reconstruction, there was a huge, I mean, almost unanimous turn back to Jesus Christ in the South. In the moments of deepest despair, the moments of suffering, when so many of their men had been killed or maimed, the South returned to God in a huge way during that 10-year period between the war and the years after the war. And massive turn back to Christ in the South. And you still see the residual effects of that today. I mean, what are we talking about? Why is it that the South is leading the charge against the murder of children, even in the current year? Well, that's residual effect of what happened, you know, over 150 years ago. And you still have a little bit of that, certainly not to the you know, as strong as it used to be, but the South still is the moral rudder of this country. It is still by far the most Christian area of the country. Utah is certainly an outlier. I mean, Utah obviously can even put some of these southern states to shame with regard to the percentage of people who are Christians now. But so, yeah, I mean, going back to what you're talking about, I mean, that's something that matters to me when I'm picking a state to live.
Amen. And the U.S. News and World Report.
The South leads charges on pro-life things in many cases, people like the South and Utah. That's why.
The U.S. News and World Report have a massive criteria that goes into their agenda. And I really don't debate their findings based on their criteria and agenda. But as Kurt wisely always highlights for us so well, it all depends on how you ask the questions. Are you going to lead the witness? Are you going to put what factors are you going to put in place? How are you going to frame the argument in the discussion? Kurt, I think this is critical to understand because I would choose states on a completely different criteria, as James has done, than they would. Kurt?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I believe that if you look at things like, at least on this whole Washington being number one place, I was just looking at an article from MyNorthwest.com, and it's entitled basically the Seattle Trash Map, and it argues that Ballard is ground zero for trash problem. Now, when you hear trash, you think, you know, somebody dropped a cup or whatever like that, but in this case, they're logging citizen complaints for trash, needles, feces, tents, biohazards. They got 19,000 citizens' complaints. This person geocoded them, mapped them in an interactive map. Like one lady says, will not use park with my daughter, been approached by homeless with her, dangerous and fear assault might happen. That doesn't sound like Washington, especially Seattle's, the lovely place they say it is.
Amen to that. Let's come back and talk about it. I got some criteria, too. We'll tell you the states in the rankings they put, and it's amazing. The more religious the state, with rare exception, the less the ranking. The more pro-death, the higher the rank. We'll tell you about it, with rare exception.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large, that they have to spend a little bit less. Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
We're talking about U.S. News and World Report. They have these incredible rankings of what they say is the best state and the worst state. And I reject their narrative, not because I think they're wrong. According to their criteria, I'm sure they're right. But what I'm saying is I have different criteria. For example, Kurt says, hey, Washington State's their best state. But hey, man, there's articles talking about trash and needles and just, you know, human waste everywhere. I mean, it's just gross. Okay, but again, it all depends on what criteria you use to make the choice. And so what's the best state in the eyes of the U.S. World Report? We'll talk about the best states according to Sam, Kurt, and James in just a second. James Edwards, our guest, I should say co-host, really. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website, and he's got an award-winning broadcast every Saturday night on your radio. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, standing for the American white people. And those across the pond who are their ancestors. Is that wrong to do? Well, every race gets to do it, but the whites. The question is, how come? Shouldn't it be fair and equal for all? See, the whites don't get a seat at the table is the point in this hostile, hate-filled agenda they've got going on as they try to destroy the greatest country and the greatest people in the world. Why? Because they obey God's laws. That's what we're talking about. When we obey God's laws, all peoples can be great in their own sphere and in their own way. Wonderful, right? We don't down anybody else. We hope everybody's great. We hope everybody turns to God. We hope everybody backs the fundamental unit of society, the family. But there's nothing wrong with us wanting to love our people and spend time with our people. And you know what? We recommend everybody do the same. But anyway, here's what they say. Coming in at number 50 is Louisiana. Right? I kind of find that interesting. Number 50 is Louisiana. Wow. What's up with that? Now, let me kind of go backwards for a second because I find this interesting. It's a big, long list. Let me get to the bottom of it here. 50 is Louisiana. 49 is Alabama. 48 is Mississippi. 47 is West Virginia. 46 New Mexico. 45 Arkansas. 44 Alaska. 43 Oklahoma. 42 South Carolina. 41 Pennsylvania, 40 Kentucky, 39 Ohio, 38 Texas, 37 Nevada, 36 Indiana, 35 Illinois, 34 Arizona, 33 Michigan, 32 Maine, 31 Wyoming, 30 Tennessee. So I don't know that I've missed a state in the South.
I was just trying.
All the worst states are in the South, they claim. Okay, James, you got to talk into your phone, buddy. You're off the map.
Yeah, I don't know why.
There you go. Say it again. Go ahead.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't get to Florida yet. Florida's got some pretty beaches, so maybe that saved it. But whoever compiled that list certainly didn't have any affection for the southern states. And again, I mean, I don't know all of the 72 that you're, you know, the 72 categories that went into formulating these rankings. But the South is, not only do you have the cultural leg up, if you are a conservative, if you are a Christian, but I mean, the South is also very beautiful. We've got mountains, we've got rivers, we've got beaches, we've got a lot of good things here. But I was looking up during the commercial break an article that I wrote several years ago, back in 2015. It's called My Journey. And it's a little autobiographical piece for a Christian website called Faith and Heritage, or at least autobiographical up until that time. And I was talking about some of the things we're talking about now, how thankful I was that God saw fit for me to be born into the South. And then I put up this map that was published in the New York Times, and it depicts where self-proclaimed Christian conservatives live by county. And it has the entire map of the United States and the counties or states where it's predominantly conservative and Christian are shaded in red, and the other states are either lightly shaded or completely white if the Christianity and conservatism is basically non-existent. Then you see the South, with the exception of South Florida, the South is just blood red, and then Utah is blood red, and a little bit of southern Idaho is very dark, and the rest of the country outside of the South, Utah and southern Idaho, and one county I see in Nevada is very, and of course that's the LDS contingent. The South would be more evangelical, Southern Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians. The South and Utah, that's it.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, when it comes down to these rankings, that's where I want to live. I want to be around people of like mind. I want to be people who share my faith, who share my values.
All right, so listen
that's
to this.
He is number one, and number one by a very wide margin. I can adapt to other factors. I'd pay a higher tax to be around people.
That's
like
right.
I would live, as I do, in a very hot, humid area in the summertime, as I do, to be around people that share my experience and my beliefs.
All right, so, 29 is Montana. 29, Montana. 28, Missouri. 27, Oregon. 26, Rhode Island. 25, New York. 24, Hawaii. 23, Delaware. 22, Kansas. 21, Connecticut. 20, South Dakota. 19, California. 18, North Carolina. 17, Georgia. 16, Idaho. 15, North Dakota. 14, Iowa. 13, Florida, 12, New Jersey, 11, Wisconsin, 10, Colorado, 9, Nebraska, 8, Massachusetts, 7, Virginia. Let's see, what is 6? It's, Maryland, 5, Vermont, 4, Utah, 3, Minnesota, 2, New Hampshire, 1, Washington State. And as I look at their list,
it's so high up there.
I don't know. As I look at their list, though, I think that for the most part, what they've done is they've relegated the South to the worst place to be. And then they've literally doubled down and highlighted some very, very liberal extreme areas. You could say, well, Sam, it's not as extreme as New York and California. But New York and California, surprisingly, were very high on the list. And they say Washington State.
More than anything, was New Jersey. I mean, New Jersey is just an industrialized hellhole. You think of places like Newark? I mean, can you imagine living in a place like Newark?
Well, and weather-wise, Washington
so
State.
So, James,
where it rains
but other
all the time.
It's an industrialized hellhole. Other than that, it's not so bad.
Yeah, that's right. Now, they say New Hampshire, all right, liver-free die state, fine. Minnesota. Vermont, Maryland, Virginia, Massachusetts, Nebraska, Colorado. I mean, they're highlighting for the most part, hey, if you're around Washington, D.C., you're good. Like, I mean, these people are crazy. And I'm telling you right now, the only states I would consider moving is to one of the southern states and or Utah, Idaho, or Wyoming. I wouldn't even consider any other state. Why? Because I look at God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. And I'm telling you, the redder the state, and I'm not just backing Republican ideology, but the redder the state, the more conservative, the more religious the state is. If you look at God, family, and country, the family-oriented states, they're all in the south of the Rocky Mountain West. They just are. And I'm not saying there's not good people other places, but I am saying to you that they don't have, for the most part, friendly governments to these agenda. I would have a completely different criteria. I would put Utah in the top of that list, but believe it or not, I would look at things like this. How well is the state constitution of the given state written? And believe it or not, Alabama has the best state constitution in the country. Do you know that?
It doesn't surprise me. It's a Confederate state.
Okay, secondly, the South is leading the pro-life focus right now. Without the South, we wouldn't even be talking about pro-life hardly at all. You got to give kudos to the South here. Okay, but again, what's your criteria, right?
Well, I mean, Sam, was any of the stuff we're talking about, which, I mean, the other stuff, you know, yeah, I mean, we want to pay lower taxes. I mean, that, all of that stuff may factor in on a second or third tier level, but are the stuff that we're talking about, the most important stuff, faith, family, beliefs, morals, et cetera, would that even make the list of criteria that they use?
Well, it depends on what morals you have. You know, if they're pro-gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, that's a positive in their minds. So again,
was that on the list?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to go read the 72 factors. I'm just telling you that when you look at what they've kind of pitched to the top, Washington State is a very extreme state that backs drug use, that backs all kinds of psychotic things. Very liberal, very expensive state for the most part in Washington.
Yeah, very expensive. That's another thing. I mean, cost of living has to factor in there somewhere, right?
I would hope so. But I'd have to look up their 72 factors, right? What they do is they boil it down to factors like economy. They say economy is one of the eight factors. Well, what does that mean? Right? Hey, we got a big pot crop going on, so we make a lot of money. See, I mean, that's not a positive. Right? So what I mean is it all depends on how you define and categorize and focus on the data. But I just find it fascinating how they determine what the best state is. I would have a completely different criteria. And I would say this, the pro-life agenda is at the very top. The amount of families and married couples and religiosity, is that the right word?
Yeah, I know what you're driving.
Of a given state is really important to me. If it's got family, God, family, and country, so patriotic, conservative with our laws, if it focuses on family and marriage and God and religion, those are the kind of places that I want to be. Now, does it mean it's perfect? No, far from. Christians aren't perfect either. But I want those values in my society. I want those values in my community. I want those values around me. And all these other issues I submit are secondary. And so, you know, Alabama would be one of the top states on my list. Because one, there's pro-life as it gets compared to all the other states. They've got the most pro-life legislation on the table of any state, period. Secondly, they've got one of the most well-written, liberty-loving constitutions of any state in the union, folks. Okay, so Alabama would be one of the top on my list. Georgia, Tennessee, they've been very pro-life. Utah, very pro-life. Okay, these are the places that I believe are leading the charge. I would look at your right to keep and bear arms and how protected that is. I would look at your free speech rights, your homeschool rights, your right-to-work state. I would look at all these factors and double down and decide which states I would consider. I would have a completely different criteria is the point. Kurt, any final word on
that? And you just touched...
Go ahead, James.
Well, I was just going to say you touched on Alabama, and see, another factor there is, of course, you yourself have roots in Alabama, and that's another thing that I don't see factored in any of these rankings is, do you have a connection to the people and to the land, which is so huge for our identity. I mean, they want us to be these rootless consumers. I mean, that's what they want us to be.
They want you to be serfs on the land your founders fought for, that's for sure. Final words yours on this topic, Kurt.
You know, as I look through the list or whatever, I agree with your analysis, Sam. And I just challenge people to find better places to live than the good South in America, the good, religious kind of areas in the country, and I don't even mean whole states many times. I'd suggest you leave the big cities and find smaller areas where the guys are the good home-based folks without Siri around.
I would suggest that you avoid the states that have serious problems. I'll give you an example. Well, let me tell you a story when we come back. I want to continue this theme. I also want to talk about the population and having children. Kurt's got an article related to that that I want to delve into as well. So next hour, we're going to continue the same topic. I got a personal story. My wife and I were on our 27th wedding anniversary celebration, and we met a couple. And it's interesting what they had to say. I'll tell you about it in a bit. Sam and Kurt, James Edwards with us. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. LibertyRoundtable.com is ours. We declare this nation shall endure.